I'd like for you to turn in the scriptures, please, if you would, to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 41. And I have a rather long reading, so if you will be patient this morning as I read. John chapter 6, verse 41. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can we say, he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" Stop grumbling among themselves, Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I say to you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus answered to them, "Verily, truly, I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh, drinks my blood, remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of the disciples said this, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept this?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to me where he has before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say this, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Notice that last part. "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." I want to share a message this morning called "The Scepter, the Calling, and the Response." And I want to give credit to T.D. Jakes, who I heard speak a while back. And based on what I heard and what God then used me and my study and preparation, was able to come to this. You see, there is a big difference in a calling and a response. The scripture says, many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Because of the response. Why does God call some and then he accepts some? He chooses some. Because those who respond to his calling, he receives. First, let me talk about the calling. You see, let me do this. Luke, come up here, please, sir. Okay. I called Luke. Luke responded. But actually, if Luke walked up here without my calling him, I'd turn around and say, "What do you want?" Okay? But I called him.
All right, you can be seated.
And he responded. That's the way the kingdom of God is. God calls, we respond. But notice this. You don't respond until he calls. You don't respond until he calls. There are a lot of people that want to decide when they receive Jesus, that want to decide when they follow him, want to decide what they do, when they do it, and then want God to bless it. But I want you to understand something. God does not call us at all times. Because in the scripture he says, come now, for today is the day of salvation. When? Now. Because I've called you. When God calls, we respond. God will not always be patient to continuously call. So when he calls, we respond. When? Today. The day he calls us. And we must have a calling before we can respond. In Esther chapter 4, verse 14, it says, for such a time as this one is called. God seizes the moment. And it could be a moment of great stress. It could be a moment of great turmoil, or a moment when we just need to move in a different direction. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. I want you to know this. Mordecai was going to be killed. He was a priest in a foreign land. And Artaxerxes was ready to kill him because he would not bow down to Mordecai. Mordecai would not bow down to Haman. And so Haman brought it before the king. The king was ready to do away with him and all his people, which he did not know, the king did not know, included Esther, who was his wife, who was in his court. So Mordecai comes to Esther and says, Esther, we have a moment here. We need to have something done. And maybe it's just you are queen for the moment. It is God putting you in that position for the moment. You have to do something. So she says, okay, I will go. And she knew she could not approach the king until he took his scepter out and pointed it to Esther. She could not approach him. So she went and waited in the court. And when the king, Xerxes, looked up and saw her, he was pleased, it says, and he reached out his scepter, and she walked up to him and touched his golden scepter, it says. And by that, she was able to speak to the king, and then she was able to save the Hebrew people. God reaches out with his scepter, the chosen scepter that he has that bridges the gap between man and God. And that gap between man and God is not bridged by any kind of religion, although men try a lot of different types of religion. It is bridged by the gift of God that was given, which name is Jesus. Jesus is the scepter. And God reaches out and extends his scepter to us. The Son of God who died on the cross, who paid the price for our sins, is the scepter. And he reaches out to each one of us and gives us the opportunity of coming. He might be reaching that out to you this morning if you've never accepted Jesus. But the scepter is given also again and again to his chosen people with a different calling. We have callings. If you're a Christian, God continuously reaches out his scepter and says, come to me, I have stuff for you right now, come on. And we either respond or we turn away. Those who respond are saved when he extends it to them. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth with an entire commitment of their life to him, which is what that believeth means in Hebrew, he will have eternal life. Have you responded? Are you responding today? You see, there is a block, though. There is something that blocks us from the scepter, and that's fear. There are those that fear in our neighborhood, fear that if they come to Jesus, if they respond to the scepter that God has pointed out, they will lose their family. For their family is all of another religion. They fear that if they come to him, they will lose their lives. Someone might take their life. They will lose their income. They could lose their job. They will lose their pleasures, which they enjoy so much. So you see, fear of a loss is why people don't come to Jesus. But they don't count the cost of what it means to have lost Jesus. As Jesus extends the scepter, you either come and receive him or you don't. You remember Jesus walked on the shore and he walked up to some fishermen and he said, come follow me and I'll do what? Fishers of men. I'll make you fishers of men. And he said that, when he said that, he was saying this. You've been fishing all your life. That's cool. Now I want to take your talents and your abilities and take them to the next dimension. I want to take you and use what you have already gifted the world with to gift the kingdom of God. I want you to become fishers of men. And so what did they do? It says they dropped their nets and they followed Jesus. How many of you have dropped your nets to follow Jesus? I want to say this too. One of the things that God does is he allows us to go through things so that we can minister to people who are going through those things. I remember, or he allows us to have a job. I've had a lot of jobs. I think that's why God gave me a lot of jobs, was he wanted to give me the opportunity of being able to understand people and them understand me, maybe. Enjoyed a lot of different jobs. But I've even been a stevedore on the docks in Charleston. Bet y'all don't see me as a stevedore, but anyway, I was. But I've had a lot of jobs, and God has used those in ministry to different people. But we at this church are going to do this. After we have our spiritual awakening, and by the way, tonight at 7 o'clock, we're going to have our spiritual awakening conference. And if you want to come and join with us, it's just all us getting together and talking about how we'll do this spiritual awakening in April, right? So, but after the spiritual awakening conference in April, what we're going to do is I want to begin a grief ministry. Any of you been through grief? If you've been through grief, raise your hand. Anybody? Okay. Most of us, at some time or the other, have been through grief. And there's a program that they've got, and it has materials. And after 3 months, you work with people, and you talk with them, and you try to encourage them. And after 3 months, you have a booklet that you give them, and you talk them through the booklet. After 6 months, you give them another booklet. You talk them through that booklet. After a year, you give them another booklet. And the whole idea is, I think it's every 3 months, and the whole idea is what you're trying to do is help people through that grieving process so that they don't come out bitter, they don't come out angry, they don't come out disillusioned, they don't come out hurting. They come out whole. And I want us in this church to do that. But the best people to do that are people who've grieved. I don't think you can understand grieving people till you have grieved. And when you have grieved, you understand grieving. Now let me tell you something else too. God took me, and I went through an unbelievable experience, which was so painful that for 2 or 3 days I couldn't get out of bed. And over a period of 6 months, it didn't get better, it got worse. I struggled. And my dad began to pray for me. And my dad knelt down. By the way, the worst thing that I feel like I lost when my dad died was the power of his prayers, because the man could pray. And I always wanted his prayers on me. But I want you to know that he prayed and was asking God. And one day he called me on the phone. He said, "Ron, I got an answer for you." I said, "I didn't know I asked a question. What is it?" He said, "I've been praying to God. Why do you have to go through what you're going through?" And God gave me an answer. And I said, "What is it?" He said, God looked at me and he said, "Frank," my dad's name, "Frank, don't you know I love the drug addict?" He said, "Yeah." "Don't you know I love the cancer patient?" I said, "Yeah." "Don't you know I love the heart patient?" "Yeah." "Don't you know I love the AIDS patient?" "Yeah." "Don't you know I love the homosexuals?" "Yes." "Don't you know I love the people that are caught and in prison?" "Yes." "If I love them, some of my choicest servants are going to have to walk in that path so that I can reach many people in that area. And your son had to walk that path for a reason." Now, I want you to know something. When Jesus called the fishermen, he called to be fishermen, he called fishermen because they understood what fishing was all about. Who are you? What is in your life that God could use with a calling? Every one of you have a gift, or you have something, even if you haven't used it, maybe it's dormant, but God wants to use it in a calling. As a matter of fact, I have known people who got to their senior adult ages and God called them. My dad was 69 when he was called to missions, overseas missions. He left at 69, and through about 80, he was there on the foreign mission field for 10 years. So I believe God calls us at different times and different ages for different purposes, and there may be some gift that you have or something that has happened in your past or somewhere that you are that God has anointed and touched and wants to use today. He has a calling on you, and he's reaching out his scepter and he's saying, "You can come to me. I want to call you." By the way, when he reaches out his scepter and you begin to feel God's movement in your life, it usually means God is saying, "I have a call for you." You know, I think Christians think he just wants to straighten out something in my life. No, God, you know, God can straighten that out. But when God touches you, whenever he reaches out his scepter for you, he's calling you. Now, I want you to know something. When the fishermen left, they left their nets. So some of us might need to drop our nets. Something we're into, something that's holding us back, something that keeping us where we are in a comfortable place. You know, most Christians think God calls us to comfortable places. I remember hearing a young lady speak, and she was a part of the LGBT community, and she was a transgender, and she came to Jesus, and she said when she came to Jesus, it was like a train wreck. How many of you know what coming to Jesus is? It's where you come in the face of. You come in front of holy God, the Father of the universe. If that's not a train wreck. And she meant by train wreck, everything in her life got turned upside down. Everything. God does not reach out and want to touch us that he does not want to take us somewhere else. And it's a boom, bam. It is not a, "I'd like for you to go with me." But most Christians think that's the call God has. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't speak with a still, small voice. Yes, he does. But it's cataclysmic at times. It's bam. There's nothing left. You go, what, God? He called the disciples to be fishers of men. Now, that's radically different from fishers of fish. But he said you have to drop your nets. But then we have Christians who go back to their nets. I know nobody here is like that, right? You dropped your nets to follow Jesus, and then like Peter and James and John, you go back to your nets. Didn't they? As a matter of fact, every time Jesus was with them, just about to look in the Bible, they were either on the mountaintop near the lake, or they were in the boat. Right? Because they were in the boat with the nets. Now, I want you to understand the nets are the things. Hear me. The nets are the things that keep you from following God and doing what he wants. What net does God call us to drop? Well, he called Peter to drop a net. His biggest one, you know what Peter's biggest net was? Fear. But Peter picked it back up. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter pulled out his sword and he was ready to cut off the ear. He missed. He was pitiful at his swing. He meant to split the guy's head in half, but he hit his ear, chopped his ear off. And willing to come against the guards, had Jesus not healed that man, he would be in prison. And then, what, how many hours later? He was in fear. He took up his net of fear again. How many times do we as Christians, how many times do we as Christians pick up our nets again? The very thing that God told us to lay down a while back. But you know what Jesus does? Jesus gets in the boat with us, even when we have our nets, and he still fishes for men. Jesus still did ministry. You remember the time Jesus was walking on the water, and he came out to the boat, and when he came up to the boat, Peter said, Lord, can I come to you? He said, sure, just step out. And he stepped down and he walked on the water. And when he walked on the water, he began to look around and the storm was blowing and the winds were, and the waves were coming up. And he was fearful and he sank. Jesus reached down and picked him up and put him in the boat. Jesus used again and again the boat that Jesus was in. Here, what are you saying, Pastor? Here's what I'm saying. I don't care what your life is like. I don't care where you are in life. I don't care what sin is in your life, which is your net. And a sin could be just procrastination. Sin could be arrogance. Could be pride. Could be self-centeredness. Self-indulgence. I could go on and on. God steps into the middle of our boat while we're still hanging on to our nets, and he uses us in a way that builds the kingdom. He still wants us to get rid of our nets, but he still can use us. Listen, hear me. I don't care how deep and how wide your sin is. God loves you and still can use you. He doesn't want us to cringe in fear over our past. He wants to make us walk easily into our future. And how does he do that? By giving us a calling, reaching out the scepter, and leading us. I've never led anybody to Christ, and this is the truth. I've never led anybody to Christ where immediately all their sins are gone, bam, just like that. Never seen anybody. God constantly is in the process of causing those garments, those nets, to fall so he can use us. And each time he calls us, each time he reaches out and he points that scepter to us, the calling comes. He says, leave that net there. You've got a net. too, and follow me. Peter dropped the net, and we call that sanctification. I want to ask you a question. Are you ready for God to use you in a greater way? I met a man one time who was a missionary, and he said, I was comfortable letting God use me in church. He said, I took up the offering every Sunday, and I thought that's all I could do. Taking up the offering's important, but he said, then God said, I got something bigger than the offering. I want you to receive lives and go on a mission field. And he walked away. But he came back and dropped his net and followed Jesus. What's your net? What is your net? I want us all to stand right now where you are. Stand up if you would.
Oh, God.